Welcome to the Open Door Podcast. I'm Pastor John Riley. I hope that today's message will encourage you and help you to find deeper intimacy with Jesus. If you'd like to know more about our church, you can visit us online at opendoorsanrafael.com.
All right, well, the mice will play when the cats are away, right? What John and Elena don't know won't hurt them. It's fine. And speaking of that, we have the honor and privilege of having Howard Hervey come and share with us today. So let's welcome him.
Good morning. We'll see how much of an honor and as a privilege as it is after I'm done, right? So those of you that do not know me, most of you do, my name is Howard. I am one of the elders here. And John called me up on Tuesday and said, hey, can you stand by to stand by on Sunday to preach? And then yesterday he told me, you're on. So here we go. You know, I practice it, and I sound so much better when I practice, and then I get up here, and I'm like, ah. So, you know, one of the things I do when I read the Bible is you read about some of the things that went on, especially in the Old Testament. And one of the things that always amazes me is how quickly the Israelites forgot what God did by bringing them out of Egypt. You know? They had the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They had the manna. They had everything. And they just whined a lot. And then I think about, okay, what about the kids that were born in the desert? You know, their whole life, they woke up and there was the pillar. Their whole life, they woke up and there was manna to eat. It was normal to them. It was just natural, you know. And I could see them listening to some of the old folks standing there going, you know, the old folks going, man, you know, I'm still amazed by that the fire is there at night, you know. And they're thinking, what? It's always been this way. What makes it so special? And one of the real things I realized because of my own life, I'm guilty of the same thing. You know, the things we take for granted as Christians. You know, I'm not a big hymn guy, but, you know, when you listen to the hymns and you read the words, the theology in those things are just spot on. You know, the fact that all my sins are forgiven, all your sins are forgiven, is just staggering. But amen. I realize I don't, and I guess I don't appreciate it as much as I should. You know, it's common. It's just like, yeah, Jesus died for my sins. Yeah, okay. You know? So what I want to do a little bit today is I just want to poke you a little bit, if I may. You know, John, when he told me to, he said, well, just speak what God's put on your heart, what he's telling you. So I want you to know what I'm telling you, it's because he's telling me. And if I got to suffer, you got to suffer too. So I'll just open us up in a prayer and then I'll get going. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for your patience. Thank you for your understanding. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Lord, we are indebted to you completely. Lord, I pray that you would just give me the grace to say the words you want me to say, that hearts would be able to hear it, and that lives would be changed, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I'm up, I have property up north and I spend days up there during the week, and my normal routine is I get up, I put on the coffee, I go, you know, put my contacts in, brush my teeth and stuff like that, and then I go sit, I have a little corner table, a little coffee, a little breakfast nook, and I sit there, And I drink my coffee, and I talk with God. And it's usually pretty cool. A month or two ago, I don't remember how long ago, I just really sensed the Holy Spirit tell me, "You're getting a little familiar here, aren't you? I mean, remember who you're dealing with. God Almighty. You know, that if you were to physically see him, it would kill you. You know, if you were in this body and you saw God, that's what the Bible says, it would kill you." And I'm like, okay, I can hear that. I can, you know, so I've switched up my routine a little bit. Coffee is really important to me, but I had to decide God was more important than my coffee. So I have my quiet time first. You know, and I read the Bible most every day, you know, I'm a good reader. That's the only talent I have educationally, I would say, is that I've always been able to read well. But I still, you know, it's a lot of times I'm checking the box. Okay, I got my reading out of the way. Now I can go do what's important. And I may not think of it in those terms, but a lot of times I find myself, yeah, okay, I just need to get this out of the way so I can do what I want to do. And then every once in a while it hits me. What did you just think? What did you just say? You know, where's your heart, Howard? You know, I mean, I think it's like I just got through with Leviticus in my reading, and I'm like, when I started, when I got to it, I'm like, oh God, here's Leviticus again. You know? And then there's a psalm, I can't remember which one it was, but it, you know, it says, you know, give praise to the God of gods, his love endures forever. You know, do this, do that, his love endures forever. Everything, his love endures forever, his love endures forever. And so I just started reading the first part and leaving his love endures forever out. And then one morning, I'm like, you know what, God wrote this. And if he's going to repeat it over and over and over again, maybe you need to pay a little bit more attention to it. So his love endures forever. Isn't that something? His love endures forever. And every once in a while, he just breaks through to me in those times. And so, you know, again, who we are in Christ, it's phenomenal what he's done. You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, you know, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But if you stop and you think about what that means, we are new creations. New creations. What an incredible thing that the God of the universe would reach down and touch us and make us new. You know, we're born again. We were dead. We were crucified with Christ. We were raised through him, with him through baptism. And now we're new creations. The problem is, at least for me, is the world gets in the way. The day-to-day routine gets in the way, and it just becomes, yeah, okay, I'm a new creation. What else is new? You know, the pillar of fire is there, but it's always been there, so what's the big deal? And I'm attempting now to be more conscientious of what Scripture actually says when I read things. You know, in John 17:3, it says, Jesus said, you know what? He says, to know you is eternal life. To know God, to know Jesus is eternal life. And I'm like, okay, how much do I know God? I mean, seriously, how much do I know God? You know, I was praying a while back. I was raised without a father. I had no father growing up, okay? But I was praying one time, and I'm like, you know, Father, this, Father, that. And then I'm like, you know, I don't have a problem. I know you as God Almighty. I know you as the Lord, you know, the Ancient of Days, those things. I can wrap my head around that, my heart around that. But I just told myself, I don't know you as a father. I don't know. I don't have the experience to relate anything to the word father. And I'm like, teach me what it is. What do you mean when you say father? You know? It's I'm poking you, okay? And again, it's me also. Stop and think about where you're at with the Lord right now. I mean, I'm going to, you know, my life is pretty good right now, you know? God has done miracles in my life. I am not the man I was when I first walked through those doors back in 1995. You know, I am transformed. But I take it for granted. I do. And it shouldn't be that way, but it is. I have to stop and remind myself all that God has done. You know, to be one of the best things that we can be when we approach God is to be grateful. But in order to be grateful, we have to remember what he's done for us, how powerful it is. There's a couple of scriptures that I am going to, well, I said that, you know, one of the things in Galatians 5, come on, work. You know, in Galatians 5, I can't just bring it right up, I'm sorry. These are the scriptures. There's the Bible, on several occasions, it makes some really absolute statements. And one of those statements is, but I say, walk and live, this is the Amplified, but I say walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature without God. And I read that, and I realize I'm not walking by the Spirit. You know, I mean, in a lot of ways, things have changed. But, you know, the human nature without God includes, okay, you want to make me forget? Here's what happens to me sometimes. I drive up 5 a lot of times, and I tend to drive a little bit faster than the speed limit. Not much. I've slowed down. But, you know, people get in the fast lane. And that's okay, and they're going slower. But I'll go up behind them, and then I'll go to pass them, and they'll speed up. You want to make me forget I'm a Christian? That's all you have to do. I'm serious. It's sad. I got to repent all the time. So that's the human nature without God. And I recognize I need to focus, you know, okay, so see if I can make sense out of this. It's not the fact that I get angry or, that it bothers me so much that's the problem. That's just the symptom of the fact that I'm not walking by the Spirit. Because if I was walking by the Spirit, I wouldn't be responding in that way. So I can focus on, oh, I got to control my anger. I got to let these things not affect me the way, or I can focus on, okay, God, how do I walk by the Spirit? How do I live controlled by the Spirit? And it changes how I approach God with this situation. Because I'm no longer trying to, okay, put me around a box of See's candies. It's all over. It is, I'm trying to cut down on my sugar. You know, my blood work came back, and I'm just not diabetic, but I'm borderline, so I need to be careful. but I have no self-control. So again, you know, I can go to God and say, God, give me self-control. Or I can say, God, teach me how to walk by the Spirit. The focus is what's important. The heart is what's important. And we all have something in our lives that's the equivalent of a box of candy for me, or driving on the freeway. We all do, every one of us. And our nature, the human nature, without the Spirit is, okay, I've just got one more effort, strong Herculean effort to control myself, and it'll be okay. And it doesn't work. You know, let me get to another place here in Colossians, one of my favorite books in the Bible. And this is one of the reasons why it's and I'm going to give the background to read a few more than I want to. He said, God disarmed, this is Colossians 2:15, God disarmed the principalities and powers that were raged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in the cross. Therefore, let no one sit in judgment on you in matters of food, drink, or with regard to a feast day or a new moon or a Sabbath. He says, if you have died with Christ to material ways of looking at things and have escaped from the world's crude and elemental notions and teachings of externalism, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to such rules and regulations, such as do not handle this, do not taste that, do not even touch them, referring to things all of which will perish with being used? To do this is to follow human precepts and doctrines. And here's the verse. Such practices have indeed the outward appearance that popularly pass for wisdom in promoting self-imposed rigor of devotion and delight in self-humiliation and severity of discipline of the body, but they are of no value in checking the indulgences of the flesh, the lower nature. Instead, they do not honor God, but only serve only to indulge the flesh. But we're supposed to be self-controlled. We're not supposed to do a bunch of things. I mean, we all know what the Bible says, you know, hey, don't let this even be mentioned among you as a Christian. You know, no foolish talk, that's a big one. You know, and there's just so many different ways. So the Bible tends, you know, if you just take it straight out, it tends to contradict itself right there. You know, you're telling me not to do this, but then you're telling me if I try not to do it, I'm only serving the flesh. And the balance, the thing that changes everything, where Paul says, you know, walk after the Spirit. You want to deal with things, you want to change your life, quit trying to do it on your own strength and walk after the Spirit. So what I want to suggest, and the point I'm trying to make here is, again, it's what makes the difference is our approach to the problem. Father, teach me what it means to walk after the Spirit. How do I walk after the Spirit? Because we're not just going to wake up one morning and go, oh, I'm walking after the Spirit now. You know, it's going to be manifested in our lives by our behavior. There's going to be fruit out of that. So, you know, part of it is reading your word, prayer, fellowship. You know, one of the underrated doctrines in the Bible and the church today is the fellowship of the body. I mean, look around you. Spiritually, we are connected. The Bible says, you know what? If I'm messing up, it's going to affect you. If I'm doing good, it's going to affect you. You know, Paul says that, you know, it's through the body of Christ, and John mentioned this a while ago, he said, the multifaceted wisdom of God is being revealed to the principalities and powers in heaven. And to me, that means you're like, the angels are sitting around him, they're talking, and they're like, man, did you see he saved Carol Galloway? I never thought that would be possible. But he did. I warned her. I warned her. She's one of my favorite people to tease because she's old and she can't hit hard anymore. So it doesn't hurt as much as it used to. But we need to recognize. We need to recognize what I do and what I don't do is going to affect the people around me. And you know, it's the local church, but it's the greater body of church. I think the body of Christ. One of the reasons the church universal is in the position that it's getting into is because people don't realize and recognize that and value that. And they're slacking up and, you know, each part supplying what the other needs is what Scripture says. So if I'm slacking up, I'm not giving Rob and Joanne what they need. If you're slacking up, you're not giving me what I need. And it's a spiritual truth that I have to keep in front of my face all the time to live it. And that's what we need to do. We need to be aware. Have you ever been in a time of prayer and you just really sense the Spirit of God in that time? You know, and it's just wonderful. I call it sometimes, I put it in these terms, and I said sometimes the Holy Spirit will ambush you at those times. Because I had one of those times, and I prayed, God, keep me hungry. Never let me get complacent. Never let me think I made it. Always keep me hungry. And it's a great prayer, but I tell you what. There are times I'm like, okay, can we just give it a little bit of a break? But yeah, I want to stay hungry. There used to be a commercial. The guy used to end up, stay hungry, my friend. You know? And I'm urging you, you know, stay hungry. Stay hungry for God. Because it's knowing God that is eternal, life eternal. Knowing God, knowing Christ. In John 15... I should not have shut this, I'm sorry. Come on, up, up. Stop. Okay. Well, I'll just, you know, he talks about, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. You know, abide in me and I in you, because you, if you abide in me, you'll produce good fruit. And then he says, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Nothing means nothing. If I want to do anything in what would be called Christian walk, I need to be abiding in Christ. And I sit there sometimes and I go, God, what does that look like? To abide in you, to remain in you is what it says, to hang around, to stay in Christ. What does that look like? I one of the phrases that I like to use, what's it look like when it's walking around on 2 feet? Because it will look like something in your life when you're doing that. So teach me what it is that I need to be doing. What's the heart attitude, the heart posture that I have that will enable me to abide in you? Because I want to do things. You know, I want to do things in Christ. You read, you know, the five wise, five foolish virgins. All 10 of them fell asleep. The bridegroom's coming, Okay, let's run out to meet the bridegroom. And then, you know, they had to be woken up. We need to be woken up as individuals. And as a corporate body of Christ, it's just human nature. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying, hey, this is a fact of human nature. Again, you know, if those guys could sit there and see that fire every day, every night, in the pillar of cloud every day, and still respond the way that they did, what hope do I have if I can't see Jesus, you know? I mean, how quickly it happens. I mean, a lot of times I'm praying, and I'm saying the words, and then in the back of my mind, I'm running another scenario. I'm planning my day. I'm thinking I'm going to do this. And then I have to stop myself and go, God, forgive me. Because I'm not really praying. I'm checking the box off again. I don't want to check the box off. There's no life in it. There's no power in it. You know, I want to avail myself of everything that God has for us. You know, he says we are seated with him in the heavenlies. You know, sit there. You go home today and sit there and just chew on that for a while. You're seated in the heavenlies with Christ. What an amazing thing. What an absolutely phenomenal, mind-boggling statement to make. And it takes faith to believe it. It takes faith to walk it out. But it also takes, one of the things I've found is it takes a humble heart before God. A couple, 3 years ago, I was dealing with some stuff that I was kept getting my butt kicked by it. And one day, just in complete exasperation and frustration, I fell on my knees on the floor and I told God, here I am, God, Howard Hervey in all his glory. This is it. This is all I've got, God, right now. It should be more, but it's all I got. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit met me in a way that he hadn't met me in a long time. Because he's like, yeah, I know. You're not telling me something that I haven't figured out. You just figured it out, and that's what I've been waiting you to do. So it takes a humility, you know, to honestly believe and to walk out on a day-to-day basis, unless I'm abiding in Christ, I can't do anything. And how foreign that is to us, you know, we just, oh yeah, I can do this, I can do that. I mean, John called me up and said, you want to preach? And I'm like, sure, I can do that. And then I'm starting to put the word together and I'm thinking, no, I can't. This is going to be a disaster. And then I just started praying. God, help me. Forgive me that I didn't think to pray first. And that's a problem I have, is I get into a situation and I do what I think I can do to solve the situation, to make it go the way I want to. And then it's only when it fails that I'm like, oh yeah, there's prayer, isn't there? And I know I'm not the only one. So, again, it's a heart attitude. You know, Jesus said, unless you abide in me, you won't produce fruit. Okay, so there's a difference between works and fruit. I don't want to do works. I want to do fruit. But you know what? I also was just reading this verse again. He says, those that do produce fruit, my Father prunes. So they produce more fruit. It just doesn't seem fair, God. Can I get a break? Just, you know, even a little one? But the reality of it is, I'm going to stand before the Lord one day. We're all going to stand before the Lord one day. And I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Because anything and everything that I went through before that will be absolutely meaningless at that time. You know, Paul talks about, you know, everything I own, I count as garbage. for the surpassing joy of knowing Jesus, just knowing Jesus. So what I want you to do, what I'd like you to take with you, is like, you know, I tell God, you know, I'm praying to him, and I'm like, God, thank you so much for everything you've done. And for those of you who know me, he's, you know, the drugs, the alcohol, the sexual immorality, everything. I am a transformed man. And I'm praying and I'm thanking God. But I'm like, you know, God, in my heart, there's more. There's more. I want more. There's more. You've done wonderful things, but there's more. And I just got back up from the, I retired at the end of January, so I started the new year by going up to the Lord's land and spending some time with God. And as I was praying and thinking, I'm just like, yeah, you know, thank you, Jesus, for everything you did. And it hit me. I said, you know, everything he did, I wanted to have happen. I was grateful to have it happen. I had sought him and prayed for him to have it happen. And then I thought, you know what I need to do? I need to start thinking, seeking God for God. Not for what he can give me, but for who he is. And again, it's a change of heart attitude. It's a change of focus. And what that will look like in every individual life, I don't know. I can tell you what it looks like in mine, but, you know, again, the multifaceted wisdom of God is being revealed as he saves each and every one of you in the way that you need to be saved. So I can't tell you. You know, there's no five-step bullet point, think, okay, you do this, and this will happen. The only thing that I can suggest is humble your heart before God when you pray. Recognize who he is and recognize who you are in him. And seek him because he's God. Because of what who he is, not what he can give you. And have him show you what it means to walk after the Spirit. Have him show you what it means for you to abide in Christ. And when we do that as a church, when each individual is seeking God in a way and growing in God, then we're all going to benefit by it. You know, I would love to see Open Door be a force of nature in San Rafael. You know, I would love to see the homeless set free. You know, there's just so many things that we can do together. But if we're not individually connected to the head, we can't do anything. So, I love you guys. Might get out of here a little early. John usually preaches a little bit, but he told me not to get too wild, so I'm going to listen to my pastor, you know. But again, it's not necessarily I got to start doing something. I'm my primary spiritual gift is helps. So I tend to go right there. I'm a Martha. You know, I'm the one doing the cooking and cleaning, and I'm not sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to him. So I go to that by default. And God is just having to tell me, you know what? No, that's not where it's at. It's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Everything else, you know, I always say, yeah, everybody blames Martha until it's time to eat. And then they're all like, Martha, what have you been doing? I'm hungry. So, but again, I'm not trying to get you to do something, to one more, you know. It's a hard attitude before God. God, I need you. God, I desperately need you. I can't do anything without you. Help me. Teach me. Change me. And when we start doing that as individuals, it's going to impact everybody around us. You know, one of the things is like, John was, or Becky was talking about, you know, look at the people around you. You're connected to them. When was the last time you said hello to half of them? I'm horrible at that. I am not a people person. I hide it really well, but I'm very comfortable by myself. But I know I need to. One of the reasons I started standing out front greeting people is because I need to do this. So think about the practical stuff, but start out seeking God. How do I abide in the Spirit, Father? How do I walk after the Spirit? How do I abide in you? Because if I'm not doing that, I'm wasting my time and your time too. Okay, amen? All right, bless you guys.